Tonight we're going to talk about the bread of God. The bread of God. The bread of God. And the Lord opened up this word to me yesterday, and it really blessed my heart. And I trust God that it does the same for you. Amen? We're going to read a few verses, and then we're going to sit, and then I'll follow through with the rest. It says, On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, right? So the people could have recognized the boat, right? The boat was recognizable. They knew the boat that the disciples got into. And that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias, right? Other came from Tiberias. Near the place where they what? Ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came where? To Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me. You seek me. You seek me. That's a good thing, right? Amen. They're seeking the Lord. Amen. But let's look at why. Not because you saw the signs, but because you what? You ate of the loaves and were filled. Listen, nothing wrong with being filled. Okay? Nothing is wrong with being filled. Because when you're filled, you're happy. Isn't it true? You eat some good food, you feel nice. You smile, you may even laugh, and sometimes you fall asleep because you feel so good, right? I don't encourage that, but we do it, right? We do it. Last night, I don't know if anyone knows what fudge is from Guyana. I ate some fish yesterday, and I don't really eat fish, so I ate the fish, and it upset my stomach, even though the fish tastes good. It tastes really nice, but when it got down there, it gave me some issues, right? No, it did not send me to the bathroom, but it just made me feel... It's, you know, I have an allergic reaction to fish. But I like to eat it from time to time. But then after that, I have to eat like sweets and stuff behind it to settle my stomach. So I had like 2 blocks of fudge. And who knows, that's pure sugar and milk. Made me feel good. I went to bed very happy. Okay? So, he said what? Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me. You seek me. Not because you saw the signs, but because you what? Ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures. Hallelujah. The food which what? Endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. Because God the Father has set. Oh, glory be to God. His seal on him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. Holy Spirit, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. Speak to us tonight. Teach us your truths. Let truth come forth from this word and enter into our hearts and change, transform our minds. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. You may be seated. All right. Now, prior to this, Jesus fed the 5,000. Right? If you read earlier in that chapter, he fed the 5,000. And many of us know that story. He just gave thanks and the bread multiplied. Pretty much it. Then the disciples got into a boat and they were journeying to Capernaum. When they got into the boat, what happened? A storm hit them. What hit them?
A storm.
What hit them?
A storm.
What hit them?
A storm.
All right. Stephen, I need your help. Where is Stephen? Stephen went to heaven? Right? Okay. So, He fed the 5,000. The disciples got into the boat and they journeyed to the other side. He did not go with them. But when they started to journey, what happened? The storm hit them. Right? Storm hit the disciples. But who showed up? Jesus showed up. He walked on the water. He told them, don't worry, I am here. He calmed the storm. Right? So the people saw the disciples' boat. They didn't know Jesus was over there. Because they remembered that only the disciples left. So they were wondering, how did Jesus get to the other side? That's a message for another day. But we know what he did. He calmed the storm, and immediately they end up to the other side. I want to tell you, when Jesus shows up, some things can happen immediately. Yes, I say, when Jesus shows up, some things that took forever. Because you know when you're in a crisis, you think you're going down, and it feels like forever. I say, it feels like forever. I say, it feels like, but it's probably just a couple minutes. Or it's just a little time. When the tempest rose in with them in the sea, when they were in the boat, in the sea, they were fearful and it probably felt like forever, like they were going to die. But right in that moment, Jesus showed up. He calmed the storm and immediately they got to their destination. I want to tell you tonight, whatever storm is raging in your life, let the Lord in and he will calm the storm in Jesus' name. Amen? So now the people followed and they got to the other side looking for Jesus. But why were they looking for him? Jesus said, you didn't follow me because of my power. You did not follow me because of my power. You didn't follow me because you recognized that I was Savior or I was the one that was sent from God. No. You came for food. You came for food. Who knows? A lot of times, not a lot of times. Like I was passing in the city, I think it was Monday evening. I was on, 51st Street, I believe, going towards Park Avenue. I saw a long line. Guess what was that line for? It was a food line. They were giving out free food. So that line was long from like the middle of the block all the way to the end of the block. Because, you know, people need food. So people will line up for food, right? Now, if free food is given away, I don't have to buy food. I join the line. Why would I buy if you're giving it away? So we can't be so hard on the people. The people are just getting in line. Sometimes we get hard on the people from biblical times. But I'm going to show you in the Word, and I'm going to show you myself where I probably was a few years ago. I'm not there anymore. Amen. You understand? Yes. And I'm believing God, by the time we end tonight, you're not going to be here anymore.
Amen.
All right. Now, let's go to 26. Most assuredly, you do not seek me. I say to you, most assuredly means verily, verily, or it's a solemn warning. And it has great weight. It's not a light term. Right? It is almost, it has some judicial power behind it. So it's like a judge. So when he says that, most assuredly, there's weight. All right? He said, most assuredly. So you can imagine the tone of the Lord. We read it very softly. Verily, verily, I say unto you. No, he's like, most assuredly, I say to you. I know your hearts. I know your heart. People may not know your heart, but I know your heart. Man looks at the outside, but where does God look? God sees your heart. God sees your core. Jesus was seeing through that tonight. And he was looking way down. You know, there's sometimes some people stare at you and you're like, oh boy, they figure me out. You ever had a moment like that? Oh boy. They understand me. I thought I could get around them. But this person got me. And you know, there's a look that comes with it. Right? Good. He said, you're not coming for my power, to change your life. Because remember, the man that came on the stretcher, the four friends brought him. When they brought him, he was sick. He couldn't walk. They brought him for healing. But Jesus did two things. He not only healed him, but he forgave his sins. Right? The woman that was caught in the act of adultery, he not only rescued her from her accusers, but he said, neither do I condemn you. What? Go and sin no more. So these people had a heart issue. They had a heart crisis. They did not care about the inward matter. All they cared about was earthly things. All they cared about was were their earthly needs. I'm asking a question tonight. What do you care most about tonight? Do you care about your financial well-being more than your spiritual walk? Do you care about material things? When the Bible tells us a man's life does not consist with the abundance of things which he has. You know, I was listening to a little clip from a preacher today. And he says, money is not wealth. Because you can have money and not be peaceful.
Come on now. Come on. Oh my God. Yes. Yes. Yes.
You could have riches in abundance and still be hopeless. But tonight, he who has the Son has life.
Amen.
And we need to live with the understanding that we have life.
Amen.
John 10:10 says, I am come that you might have what? Life. How? Life. How? In abundance. I am come that you might have what?
Life.
And life more abundantly. So, Jesus began talking to them. He says, you're following me because you ate the loaves and you were filled. So you're just following me for the next high. You're just following me for the next feel good. There's some people that go from church to church, and all they're seeking is the next high. All they're seeking is the next big wave of God's glory. And they just want to be there to feel that good feeling. You know, I went to a service a couple months back. Pastor Dow was there. The children were there. A few people from church were there also. And it was a prophet these people were following. And as I looked at these people, I could see the bondage on their lives. Because you could see the oppression on them. One lady came from Wisconsin. I can't even get somebody to come from Mount Vernon to church properly. That lady came from Wisconsin. You know how far Wisconsin is? Some of you don't even know that's a state. You know, like yesterday, I heard of Mississippi. And I even forgot Mississippi was a state. You know the Mississippi River, but like it doesn't, I had to go on my phone and look to see where Mississippi was. Because had you tie me up and tell me you're going to shoot me to tell you where Mississippi was, I couldn't tell you. But now I know it's right next to Alabama at the bottom, right? But that's how we are. We just want the next high. So I'm telling you this story. These people, they just follow this man around and they call the demon slayers. Right? So they follow these guys wherever they go. But every time you go, you're getting delivered, man.
Come on now.
Because you know why? After they're done in that service, they go back to their old life.
Yes.
They go right back into the mud. Because the guy asks them some questions like this. Have you been going to church? Have you been this disciple? They say no. All they want is the feeling of the presence of God. But they don't want God. Let that not be us tonight. Let that not be us. Let us not settle for surface when there is more. Let's go for more. Somebody say, give me more. He said, you ate, you were filled, you felt good, so you came for more. 27. Now, let's look at this. Jesus says to them, do not labor. Labor speaks of investment. Do not invest your time, your energies, for what? The bread which perishes. Do not labor for food which perishes. Sometimes we take all of our energies and we put it into earthly things. All of our energies, we put it into education. We put it into work. We put it into relationships. Oh, I have to spend time with my kids. I spoke to a guy yesterday. He has one child here. He has a child somewhere else. So he has to be spending time on the weekends. Has no time to go to the house of God. That's deception.
Yes. Yes.
When the Bible says seek first. Seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God. I'm not condemning your situation. But what I'm saying, no, let no situation take God's place. Don't let no person take God's place. It don't matter if it's your grandkids and you love them. Don't let them take God's place. It don't matter if it's your spouse and you love them so much, which you should. Our husbands ought to love their wives as Christ of the church and he give himself. But don't let them take the Lord's place. So do not labor for the bread that perish while you neglect the bread that matters. Are you with me? So, today's fasting. When last you fasted? What are we laboring for? What are we laboring for? Fasting is not for God.
No.
You don't fast for God.
No.
You fast for yourself.
Yes.
Fasting, you substitute your food. These people wanted bread to make them feel good. When I eat, I feel good. I told you that already. And I know when you eat, you feel good too. Or you would stop eating. Or as much as you do. Amen. I got one honest person in this whole big church. But yes. But when we fast, we show what matters. I'm not saying fasting is easy. Oh my God, it's not. There are times you're tired. There are times you're weary. But we still got to push through. We have to push through. Because we have to invest in what matters. When you fast, you're actually eating.
Yes.
When you fast, you are eating. And we're going to see what you eat when you fast in a little while. So, my challenge to you, every Wednesday is fasting. Every Wednesday, we fast from 6 a.m. Let me put it this way. We fast from midnight all the way to 6 p.m. And if you think fasting is going to kill you, I didn't eat yet. I'm still waiting to eat after church. And the only reason I didn't eat is because nobody brought me any food. Right? And nor I didn't go and buy any food either, right? So, that's not a hit against anybody. But I want to tell you, let's invest in spiritual things. Okay? Do not labor for the food which perishes. We're going to start to go fast now. Are we taking any notes?
Yes.
Do you need a pen?
I have.
You have a book, so you should be taking notes.
Yeah.
God. Let me tell you one thing to put in your book. Wednesdays is fasting until 6 p.m. Write that in your book. If you don't learn anything, you learn that tonight. Where's your book? You need a book? Get a book, Steve. Right. Give the Lord a hand for Stephen. He's the bookman. Good. Are we learning something tonight?
Amen.
Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which what? Endures. To what? Everlasting life. All right, we're going to read scripture tonight. Scripture is going to be so sweet to us. Which the Son of Man will give you. Why? Because God, the Father, has set or has approved, has set his seal on him. Right? Now, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work? What shall we do that we may what? Work the works of God. Jesus never told them anything about working the works of God. He didn't tell them nothing about that. But they jumped from hungering for God to now working the works of God. When God wanted to work in them. You see, a lot of times we want to do a lot of great things for God, but we're not releasing ourselves that God can work in us. We're not releasing ourselves that God can break away some things. God can cut away something. God can prune us. He said, if you abide in me, my word abides in you. You shall ask what you will, it shall be done. But it also said, it goes into that same verse in chapter 3, who the Father loves, he prunes. And he prunes you that you may bring forth fruit. So you have to present yourself to God that he can prune you. God knows what is not good for you. Are you with me? God knows what needs to come out of you. And the more you release yourself, he will put more of himself in you. And as a result, where the word comes in, what is not of God has to go.
Amen.
Now, let's keep talking. They said, how can we work? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. No. They said, how can we work the works? Look what he says to them. This is the work of God. You want to know if you're doing the work of God? You got to believe on Jesus. He said that you believe in him. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Somebody clap your hands. That you believe, that you trust in him, that you adhere. You want to work the works, you want to make the Father happy? Obey what Jesus said.
Yeah.
Obey what Jesus said. He said, my sheep know my voice. It's to put our confidence in him. It's to have faith in him. That's what it means to believe. To trust in him. To believe with all your heart. To believe in him whom he has sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign? Look at this. They're going from works to sign. All of this stuff. They're falling for food. But now, They're going back and forth. He's saying, therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see? They just saw a great sign. I want to tell you, change your mind when you come to church. Don't come to see signs. You know how signs happen? It's when we believe in Jesus. When we come with our faith. When we all say God, and when we worship him with all our heart, that there is none like you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We exalt you. Oh my God, and he comes down. He comes down, and he works wonders in our midst. Burdens are lifting, chains break when we submit to who he is. And we believe what he says. If he says he's deliverer, oh, thank you, Lord, that you're my deliverer. He says that he is a healer. Thank you, Lord, that with your stripes, I am healed. I am the healer of the Lord. Jehovah Rapha, I love you, my healer. Because guess what? Otherwise, you're going to be living just for outpouring Sunday. When the prophet come and he prophesy. That's all you're looking forward to. The next hype. What is it you're going to do? What is it you're going to do? That we may believe. No. He said you just need to accept believing by faith. And believe in what I said. Amen? What works will you do? Our Father, look here now. They're going back to food again. They're going back to earthly things. They're going back to expressions. It is because of God's goodness they got bread. So we worship God because he's good. We don't worship him because of the bread. But we worship him because he is good. You see, we have to worship God with understanding. Understanding. The Bible says, in all you're getting, get what? Understand. If in all you're getting, that means... If you're getting food, get it with understanding. All you're getting, you get money, get it with understanding. You get healing, get it with understanding that it comes from God. All of your getting, let it flow with understanding. Who is the source of every good thing? Every good and perfect thing comes from God. Understanding. Understand everything. You get children? Thank you, Lord, for blessing my womb that I can have children. With understanding, because the Bible says children are an heritage or an inheritance from the Lord. You walking with me tonight?
Amen.
Good. What works will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Oh, God. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, goes back to that statement again. I say to you, Moses did not. Jesus cleared it up for them. Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father. Now, he's saying, what you ate in what Moses gave to them was manna. What they ate, even though it fell from heaven, it was not the bread of heaven. And it was not the bread that will lead unto eternal life. They needed physical sustenance in the wilderness to get to a promised land. But here you are saying to them, what you need is spiritual life to go to heaven. And if you're going to live in the kingdom of God, take your eyes off of food. Take your eyes off of the things you see. Take your eyes off of fine clothes. Take your eyes off of nice hairstyle. Take your eyes off of jewelry. Take it off of your needs. Sometimes your needs become roadblocks. Your needs. Take your eyes off of your needs and looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, meaning everything in between is Jesus. From top to bottom, it's Jesus. From beginning to end, it is Jesus. If God can take care of the lilies of the field, what about you, his children? Is anybody getting this?
Yes.
Are we getting this tonight?
Yes.
He gave them bread to eat. Jesus said to them, Moses, surely I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. But who's giving it? My Father gives. My Father what?
Gives.
You the true. Oh my God. The true. So the manna was just a foreshadowing to live physically of what will come down from heaven that will cause you to live eternally. Because they ate the bread and they got through the world, and most of them died in the wilderness. until another generation. But he gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God. Now, this is where we want to hit it. What we eat is physical bread. The bread of the earth. The bread of the earth. Right? Because it's grown. Does your food fall from heaven? No. That's the bread of the earth. But here it says, the bread of God. The bread of God. The real thing that you need is the bread of God. Oh my God. Now when I saw this, I've been reading through this book, well, my audio book, and I think I brought to memory two of the generals in the healing wave that took place in the 1900s, Jacko and A.A. Allen. They were both drunkards. They were both alcoholics. A.A. Allen was born into a home with, they both came from broken families, but he was born into a home with drunkards. His mom was a drunkard. His dad was a drunkard. To prevent them from crying, they would fill the bottle. Not give them a spoon of brandy like some people do. But they filled the bottle with whiskey. And they used to make it at home at the back of their house. They would give them a bottle of liquor to drink. Him, his two brothers, and his sisters. All five of them. He said when they were little, his parents would give them the liquor to drink and watch them behave like drunk people and sit and laugh because they were messed up themselves. Before he went to school, he was smoking. Smoking. When he would light the cigarette for his mom, he smoked. And then he gave it to his mom. But that same A.A. Allen, that same man, had no peace for his soul. Had no rest for his soul. But he saw a church one day. He was walking with his friends. And he was walking with his friend. He said, let's go in there. And when he went into that church, he normally, oh, his father was a worship leader in the church. The church in the community would pay his father to go and play music. And most of the time he'd go and lead worship and sing. He's drunk. He didn't know Jesus, but the church needed a musician, so they sent him. So A.A. Allen became an entertainer because his dad was a good musician and a singer. By the time he was like 4 years old, he was singing on the street getting money. So he became an entertainer till at one point they had a dance hall. They turned their house into a dance hall. So one man got saved down the block, and up the block, there's a dance hall in the house. Two men. One man down here saved. He's praying for the community while him and his mom open a dance hall in the house. But what did those people did? They prayed that the dance hall would close. They prayed and they believed God that the dance hall in the Allen's house would close down. And one day, the same Allen was walking by the church. And he saw the church of people singing, rejoicing, having a good time. He's like, how is this possible? Church is supposed to be solemn and quiet. Sing hymns. Because that's all he knew. His dad would go to church drunk, sing the hymns, and they all knew them. And when he got in there, and he saw how happy the people were, and how they were rejoicing, and they were singing, and he said he saw on them that there was a peace on them. And there was a purity on them. Couldn't explain it, but he saw it on them. And he went back home. That night, the lady made the call. Is there anybody here that would want Jesus? He didn't go. He went back home. But he remembered and he remembered and he remembered. And a couple days later, he went and he gave his heart to the Lord. Amen. That is the bread that satisfies. Amen. That is the bread that satisfies.
Amen.
That's what we're talking about tonight. He had the music. He had the dance. He had the part, but that couldn't satisfy. He needed the bread of God because God is the one that created every one of us and he knows exactly what we need. And tonight Jesus, the bread, came down from heaven. He says here, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven. And what he does, he gives life to the world. Why did Jesus say? He said, I am come that you might have what? Life. Aren't you living? Yes, you are, but you're dead. He said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You need the spiritual birth. It doesn't matter what class you're from. It doesn't matter what part of the society you're from. We all need that encounter with Jesus. And he says what? I am the bread that gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread. How? Always. Now, a lot of times, you talk to people, you say, are you saved? Yeah, I'm always saved. You pray? Always, I always pray. Yeah, and no one ever give you those things. I pray all the time.
Yes.
I talk to God, but are you saved? They can't answer that question. They can't answer that question because it comes a point where everyone has to eat this bread. Where everyone needs to receive Jesus by faith. Because what he says, it is God's plan that you what? Believe. That you what? That you believe. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. Now let's go to 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. Hallelujah. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. So it doesn't matter who you are. The Bible says, God is no respecter of person. Anyone that comes to Jesus, he receives them. To as many as receive, to as many as believe, to them he what? Gives power to what? Become. He didn't say some, but to as many as receive him, to them he gives power to what? Become the children. So Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I will by no means cast out. That means if you don't come to him, you're going to get cast out. That's the other reality. If you don't receive him, there's going to be a day of reckoning. There's going to be a day of judgment. But when you come to Christ, you escape. Because what you do, you pass from death to life. You pass from wrath to the grace and the mercy and the love and the peace that God has to offer, and you're justified. Amen? For I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but who? But the will of him, the Father, who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given to me, I should lose none. So when you're in Christ, you're secure. There is eternal security. So it doesn't matter how all hell looks like it is breaking loose against you. It can't touch you. It cannot touch you. Because what? How much Jesus will be lost? How many? All right, let's look at the word. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose how many? Nothing. 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 But he said, but should raise it up at the last day. Let's go to the next verse. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone, now he personalizes it to person, everyone who sees the Son, believes and believes in him, may have what? How much? What kind of life? Everlasting life. And I will raise him. I will raise him up at the last day. So even if you sleep in Jesus, you know, Christians, stop dying. We got to get our doctrine straight.
Yes.
We don't die anymore.
No.
We don't die anymore.
No. Amen.
We sleep. Our body goes to sleep, but your spirit never dies. So even that you have to understand. Brothers, when you die, or when they say you die, that's why, I forget which preacher it was. He said, if you ever hear that so-and-so die, don't believe it. Because that's when I am more alive. That's when I am more alive. Because the moment your eyes close physically, that means the body is done with the spirit. That's why we have to care our bodies. We have to care our bodies so that we can have longevity. But if we don't care our bodies, we break down our bodies. And then we're praying, oh God, heal me, heal me, heal me, heal me. When God said you're abusing your temple, you're not resting. All of these things, part of it, you got to sleep. You know, sleep is important, right? Yeah, make sure you sleep every night. Don't stare. Sleep. Cool, get your rest because it replenishes your body. Right? Because you have to get rest for when you have to work. Because if you don't rest, you can't work well. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you don't rest, you can't pray well. Because when you go to pray, you're going to sleep. That's the sweetest sleep. You drool and everything when you pray and sleep. And dream. Everything. Nice. But you will not die anymore. If they say, I'm dead, say you lie. That's just the body sleeping. Because what Jesus will do, I will raise him up where? At the last day. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of Jesus. So, now, let's continue. And this is the will of him who sent me that everyone, okay, we read that already, right? So, we are not to labor for physical food. Let's skip down. We're going to go down to 53. So this was them quarreling with Jesus, going back and forth with him on the shore. But then he went into the synagogue to teach. And the argument continued because the Jews now heard that he said that he is the bread that came down from heaven. Now we're going to skip through because of time. 53. All right, let's read 52. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink his blood, you have no life in him, in you. Now, you can't physically eat Jesus, but when you identify with him, when we identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, when you take it and you personalize it and you say, Lord, thank you that you hung on that cross for me. Thank you that your blood ran down for me, that I may be forgiven. You know what you're doing there? You're eating the flesh and you're drinking the blood. Amen. When we take the communion, yes, we partake at the Lord's table. He said, this is my body which was broken for you. This is the cup of my blood for the remission or the blotting out or the payment of sin. You identify with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So you're eating his body and you're drinking his blood in spirit. Amen? Amen. Whosoever eats my flesh, because who is he? He's the bread of life. Yes. Amen? He is what? Who is Jesus? The bread of God. He is the bread of life that comes down from heaven. And we're not to labor or invest only in physical things, but in spiritual things, right? Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up. So he's saying it back to the Jews. I will raise him up on the last day. Look here now. For my flesh is food indeed. My flesh is food indeed. Meaning, my flesh is the superfood you've been looking for. It's the best thing that you can ever have. It's the satisfaction that you've been looking for. My blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, what happened now? You become personal. You become what? It becomes personal between you and the Lord. When you eat his flesh and you drink his blood, you change location. You change location. You are living in the world, abiding in the world. The devil was your father. Oh God, we go that far. But now he says, because you received the gift, you abide in me. And what? Look at the flip. He said, not only that, but I in you. So it's not only you abiding in Christ, but he abides in you. Not only you living in him, but he lives in you. Amen?
Amen.
So I want you to walk out of these doors tonight having eaten the bread that is bread indeed. Hunger for true bread. Don't just invest your time in physical things, but eat some spiritual food. Every day you get up, get to the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. Get into the word of God and say, this is food for my spirit. This is food indeed.
Amen.
And I've eaten of the word. In the beginning was the word was God, the word was God. I have eaten of Jesus, who is the living word. And he is my bread indeed, and he is my drink indeed. Amen?
Amen?
And not only that, I abide in him, and he in me. You see that? As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds, hallelujah, feed speaks of you continuing. So, when you get saved, you eat. Now watch this. When you get saved, you eat. But after you're saved, you feed. If you, anyone ever mind chickens, you have to what? Feed the chicken. You have to feed your livestock. You have children, it's your feeding time. You have to feed them. So you continue to feed them. So now we are consistently feeding on the Lord. Amen? You're continually eating the bread. So when it comes to your spiritual maturity, it will take feeding. You have to feed on Jesus. Amen? He who feeds on me will what? Live. Why do you live? Because you're feeding on Christ. That's it. You live because of him. You will thrive. You will live an overcoming life. You will live a life of the Spirit of God. You live an empowered life because you're consistently getting food from the Lord. You're getting strength. You're getting nourishment. You're being nourished by the Holy Spirit of God and by the Word of God. You will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your father ate the manna. And look here now. Dead. So that means you can get everything and still be spiritually dead. But tonight we just got to feed on the Lord. Now that you have eaten, continue to feed. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness, what's going to happen? You're going to be filled. Everything that you want, everything that you desire from God, he will do it for you. All that he has for you, all that is spoken over your life, every prophetic word, you can war with it because what? You feed on Jesus. You can say, God, what you said, the plans that you have for me will come to pass because I'm feeding on you. I'm not feeding on the world's food. I'm not feeding on my own, whatever I desire or whatever I think should happen. No, I'm coming every day and I'm feeding on you. So I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen?
Amen?
This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your father ate manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live how? Forever. Hallelujah. So, you have forever bread. You have eternal life. Why? Because you're not only investing in the things you see, but you're going for more. You're going for more. You're eating from the hand of the Lord every day. Amen? And what? The promises are great. He said, I'll raise you up on the last. I'll give you eternal life. You don't have to fear no evil because he is with us. Amen? Let's thank God tonight. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is food. And thank you that you are the bread of God. The bread that came down from God the Father. That we might see the kingdom. That we might see the kingdom. That we may understand that there's more to life. And tonight we eat of you because you're bread indeed. And we drink from you because you're a drink indeed. I thank you tonight that your word will resonate in our hearts. Let your word find root. Let your word find root in our heart. And let it grow. And let it nourish us. I pray tonight that freedom is here because you are bread indeed. And your word says, who the Son set free is free indeed. So we look to you and we receive from you. Somebody just receive from the Lord.